From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for February 8th, 2019. Just a heads up, Valentine's Day is this Thursday the 14th. Okay, guys, you can't say we didn't warn you. The 14th also marks the beginning of a four-day run for Disney on Ice at the Forum. The Bucks are home this Saturday night with the Orlando Magic. And 1 week from today, pitchers and catchers report to Brewers spring training in Arizona. If you think taking away Grandpa's car keys is rough, try taking away his smokes. The state of Hawaii wants to raise the smoking age to 100. Apparently, the Hawaiian legislature figures at 100, you're finally old enough to make your own bad decisions. And a 33-year-old woman, who won't be able to smoke in Hawaii, won $50,000 in a Canadian lottery. This has all the makings of a good luck lottery story, but it's not. You see, she used a stolen credit card to buy the winning lottery ticket, but she ended up on the losing end when the Royal Newfoundland Constabulary No. 9, and isn't that a great name for a Canadian cop shop? Well, the constabulary charged her with theft and fraud, but all is not lost. She did win 6 months in an 8x8-foot cell. In the studio today, we have Brian Kilb, Kyle Tedding, Paige Ratke, Joel Dreesang, and wrapping up the week, here's Bob Landis.
Thanks, Max. NASDAQ added 34 points this week, climbing 0.5% to close today at 7298. The S&P 500 tacked on just 1 point. That's enough to push it into positive territory, up 0.1%, closed today at 2708. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 42 points this week, climbing 0.2%. We close at the bell this afternoon in New York with the Dow finishing the week at 25,106. Year to date, NASDAQ up 10% at a bear market territory now. S&P 500 up 8.2%. Year to date, the Dow is up 7.7%. You know, Brian, we had the best January in 30 years. We had a five-session winning streak that ended on Wednesday. Everything that seemed to take the market lower in the fourth quarter kind of reversed course. But now more and more signs are showing that the global economy is continuing to slow down, which may get in the way of higher stock prices.
Yeah, you know, if you just look at earnings forecasts over the last few months, we went into the year kind of thinking 11-ish percent. We're down to, I think, 5% earnings forecasted growth on the S&P for this year. So I don't know, maybe we're overshooting things, but certainly we've had a bit of a step backwards. Bob, I want to go back to something you said a few weeks ago when you talked about perhaps already being in a slowdown. Looked at first quarter earnings forecasts and, you know, some people talking about negative numbers. We may indeed be in a slowdown. Maybe even we get a negative quarter of earnings growth, whether it's a recession or not. We may be in the midst of it. It may not last too long, and we may be talking about coming out the other end before we even realize we're in it. But there's certainly enough stable information to think this thing wouldn't get too bad. And I think if you go back over the last few months, what we end up, I think, with is a market that pretty accurately reflects valuations in terms of earnings and where we're at, and that's never a bad place to be, I think, you know?
You know, unfortunately, trade tensions continue to weigh on the markets. White House said Thursday they're still far away from getting a trade deal with the Chinese. President Trump said late yesterday that there's no way he's going to be able to meet Chinese leadership before March 1. Where the 20% increase in the tariffs then take effect. I think that's going to continue to take a toll on the markets here. Brian, as you know, about half the companies in the S&P offer guidance during their earnings calls. We think we're going to do. Number one concern last year by far was the uncertainty because of the trade conflict. Companies are sitting on all this cash they don't want to deploy. Because they can't see clarity on trade. So the hopes of a trade deal now appears to be fading fairly quickly. And in my opinion, that coincided with market losing 220 points Thursday, down 64 today, barely positive for the week.
You know, and I think it just adds to that what continues to be, I think, a fairly lengthy period of significant uncertainty. China being a big number, you know, we're talking about tariffs and the impact on the economy globally, but then you still have, you know, we're another week away from a government shutdown. Perhaps that issue hasn't gone away. The Brits are still working on whether we're in or out, and we really don't have any better idea whether they're making progress or not. So it just adds to this, I think, global general sense of, you know, are these issues going to affect us? When are they going to affect us? And are we going to figure out whether we're going forward or backwards with some of these things? Until then, I think it's going to be a little choppy.
And Brian, I think one of the interesting maybe distinctions to make between all the stuff that's popped up now that was an issue at the end of the year too is that we're talking about valuations now on the market that are quite a bit cheaper than they were, you know, as we entered the fourth quarter especially, but even, you know, later in the fourth quarter as we really dealt with some of the things we're talking about now. And so I think, you know, while certainly there's concern about the slowdown in global growth, and that certainly would maybe dampen our expectation for earnings, we've already priced a lot of that into stocks. That doesn't mean they can't get cheaper. And certainly, you know, if the bad news continues or if the uncertainty continues, they probably do get a little bit cheaper. But I think there's a big difference between a forward PE of 16 on the S&P 500 and one of 17.5 or higher where we were at points in time in 2018. And so I think, you know, kind of that value piece has come back in so many ways.
You know, and I think one of the issues that isn't part of that variable piece, at least not so much anymore, is the Fed. So, you know, if we can every few weeks maybe push one to the side and get some clarity over the next couple of months, we'll see if this thing doesn't stabilize and if markets don't move forward accordingly.
Paige, let me bring you into the program. As you know, bonds and stocks have been rallying since the beginning of the year. The pros will tell you that one of them's got to be wrong. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think going into the new year, you know, like we said, we've been looking at the past year and really coming into the new one. So, like you said, one has to be wrong, either bonds or stocks. I think in this case, it's probably more likely going to be the bonds that are wrong. I know the bond market isn't usually wrong, but the stock market tends to be more of a leading indicator. And I think right now the bond market is more reactionary to things that are happening right now, whereas the stock market is still looking to the future. So that's something I'm paying closer attention to.
You know, Paige, as you know, low bond yields in Europe and Japan have kept U.S. Treasury yields from rising off of fairly historic lows in recent years. And now with the Fed on hold, more attention is going to be paid to inflation. You take a look at the 10-year break-even between the 10-year Treasury and then the 10-year TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Security. The gap is now 1.84, just up a tad from 1.73 a month ago. So that gives me the sense that you know, maybe there is a point where they both can be right for a while as long as inflation doesn't take off. And perhaps this is all coinciding at a point when, you know, the global economy appears to be slowing a little bit more than people thought, you know, a couple of months ago. Something we're going to have to keep our eyes on.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. So when we're looking at U.S. interest rates, we have to remember that we're not in a bubble. So right now, the 10-year German Bund is only paying 0.08%. So think about that. If you're a fixed income investor and you're trying to find some yield, there's really nowhere to go when you're looking at Europe. And so we're seeing a lot of demand for U.S. Treasury, which I think, to your point, is going to keep a lid on it for now.
And Paige, we can't underestimate fund flows either. The amount of investor money that's flowed into bonds is reaching record paces. And at the same time, money is flooding out of, especially in the exchange-traded market, stock funds. And so, you know, I think one of the things that's supporting bond prices, keeping those yields down, is just the amount of money, you know, as you say, that's been chasing U.S. bonds, in part because of how much better rates look here, but in part because people have been looking for a place to go to de-risk because they're rightfully concerned about some of the things we're talking about. And so I think interesting that oftentimes the mom-and-pop investor tends to be wrong. You know, the individuals tend not to get it right all the time when it comes to chasing maybe the next big thing. And so maybe abandoning stocks right now, in terms of fund flows at least, isn't the right thing to do. And, you know, maybe that has supported bonds a little more than it otherwise would have.
you know, kind of the irony in that, I think, is how the risk in the bond market seems to be increasing significantly. You know, we don't talk about credit risk, but there's a lot more companies that are a lot less able to pay you back these days. And that's all well and good when the economy seems to be running pretty well. But if conditions deteriorate in many of those companies, you know, that are a little bit iffy, things could get a little choppy there. And so, you know, you think of bonds in terms of safety, as we all should, but be careful that you're in the safe part of the bond market, because that's, you know, we need to pay attention to that.
Yeah, Brian, we had Vanguard, kind of the leader in low-cost, you know, kind of passive investing, come out this week and say that maybe that's not the thing you should be doing in fixed income right now, that you've got to pay especially close attention to some of those lower quality issues that tend to pile up in the index bond funds. And so, you know, I think investors as a whole maybe are starting to get it, and especially true when you see that kind of the leader in passive investing is saying, hey, maybe you should pay attention here.
It appears to me, though, Kyle, that investors are oblivious to that issue. You take a look at junk bond issuance, it was gigantic in January. The fact that bond covenants, you know, the rules of the game, have been so watered down to be almost non-existent, according to some bond managers, you know, that might work well on the way up, but it can't work well on the way down. Half of all corporate debt issued the last 10 years, BBB, bottom rung of investment grade, that's not going to end well. At a time when interest rates are still pretty low, people are just taking all sorts of risk, and they're not being paid for that risk. It's so critically important to look at risk-adjusted returns. You're not being paid for it, so don't take that risk. And I can't think of a better example than the low-quality end of the corporate bond market. Talking to guys been around the block a long time, pretty good investor, longtime CPA here in town. And he's asking me about excesses, you know, Bob, what's going to cause the next downturn? I said, well, it can't be more than likely in real estate because the banks didn't securitize debt like they used to. It can't be in the tech end of the market that took the market down in 2000 because valuations are fairly appropriate in the tech sector. The phantom beast, if you will, perhaps can be lurking in the bond market where you're going to see a whole lot of companies that aren't just going to get downgraded, but might get shut out of the credit stream. And then you got all sorts of problems that cascade. So, you know, as a firm, we made the decision a long time ago to upgrade the credit quality of our bonds. I implore people to do the same, because I think that's just an accident waiting to happen. Kyle, let's talk about earnings here for a minute. Brian, you mentioned this briefly, too. Weigh in on it. You know, earnings look kind of puny now for this year. It seemed to me just a couple weeks ago I was reading 7.5% forecast for the year. Now it's down to 5%. You know, I can't remember the last time that earnings were revised lower so quickly this early in the year.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to point out that some of it is the expectation that global growth is slowing down, maybe a little more than we initially thought. And some of it is that we tend to see at the release of earnings, companies maybe undershoot a little bit or underestimate what they expect to see in future quarters. And so the hope is that we might see, you know, maybe we're talking 4.5%, 5% now, but that we see 75 to 80% of companies beat, and what we end up with is maybe closer to 5.5 or 6 for the first quarter. I think the challenge is that you're probably going to continue to see those companies back away from any kind of meaningful earnings growth. The other thing to point out, though, is that while it's maybe disappointing to see earnings growth in the 4 to 5% range for a quarter, and, you know, maybe if we're lucky, you know, mid-single digits for the full year 2019, we're talking about that after a year in which we saw 20% plus earnings growth for much of, you know, for much of the S&P 500. So a lot of it is just that the year-over-year comparisons are so difficult, that had we looked at just the absolute dollar amount of earnings for the S&P for all of 2019, 2-3 years ago, we're right at where we thought we'd be. It's just that we front-loaded a lot of those earnings. And so, you know, the good news there is the market reflects that in terms of forward valuations. You know, it talked about earlier about the forward PE on the S&P 500 being 16 times the next 12 months earnings. And so I think, you know, the good news is we're not expecting, 10% anymore. We're expecting what we think we're going to get now. And so I think, that doesn't set up for a terrible year for stocks as long as we don't see some of the big misses that would otherwise take things down.
Joel, let's bring you into the program, Institute for Supply Management, Purchasing Managers Index. Fell last month. Not great news. Export orders fell to 50.5, just above the 50 reading that indicates expansion.
Yeah, Bob, it's kind of a good news, bad news, because it still indicated another month of expansion. So that's 108 in a row. So that's good. But it's also showing that growth is slowing. The Institute for Supply Management figures that based on that index for January, that the U.S. economy is growing by 2.8% a year. Last month when it did that index, it figured that it was growing by 3.2%. So, again, the economy is still growing, which is good, but it's slowing down.
So there's a global index for purchasing managers. The current global index is now at the lowest since 2016, and it's just barely above the line between expansion and contraction. And, Jules, as you know, what we saw last fall was domestically the purchasing managers index was slowing, but nowhere near what it was overseas, and now they're all in lockstep and suggesting slower growth. We did have some other economic indicators that came out. Car sales, as expected, they're heading down.
Yes, it was the slowest sales for cars in a year and a half. I think it was the slowest since August of 2017. So, that's not a good sign. Still, they're selling cars, but they're not selling them as fast a rate. I guess if we'd rather have our economy still chugging along and the rest of the world slowing down. But we're, it's a big place, and we're starting to slow with it.
If you look back to the end of September, you have to respect the fact that the stock market as a leading economic indicator was right on the money. That the news since the beginning of the fourth quarter last year has shown that economic activity is slowing. Europe is challenged by the slowdown in China. Europe is challenged by the problems in Italy, in the United Kingdom. And that the stock market anticipated that. So you go into this year and, the market's had that necessary adjustment to slower growth. And it's so important, I think, for investors to never, ever, never, ever forget that the stock market is a leading economic indicator, that it tends to predict future events 6 to 9 months in advance. So what it told investors last fall was, it's coming, the global growth is slowing. And now what the market is telling us is it's slowing, but it's not going to fall off the cliff. It's slowing, but growth is still positive. It's slowing around the world, but at some point in time, it's hoped that the Chinese and the Americans are going to resolve their trade disputes and move on. It's slowing, but it's now widely anticipated that the Fed is mostly done raising rates. So it can seem counterintuitive that, the market's going up, 9% this year. It's a great number. I'll take that just for the entire year's performance. But it's a forward-serving economic indicator. It's telling us clearly that the big money is betting on the fact that, yep, growth is slowing, but it's not going to take us out. Yeah, growth is slowing around the world, but you can't extrapolate that into the next 3 or 4 or 5 years that it could be a short-term downturn because of the uncertainties of trade and not having really reliable numbers out of China to get a true read of what that's telling us. So at the end of the day, I'm going to go with what the markets tell us. And what the markets are clearly telling us is that, growth is slowing, not only here, but overseas. And at the end, we'll still finish net positive. You look at GDP growth, right? A little over 3% last year. pros think it's going to be somewhere around two-ish this year. All right, I get the trend. Three is a bigger number than two. We're heading lower. But that doesn't mean we're heading towards zero anytime soon.
You know, Bob, there was I'm sure you saw this too, an article in a paper this week that basically said earnings didn't matter, and it was kind of silly to pay attention to that, which, of course, I had an adverse reaction to. But your point about the market looking ahead is exactly why that article is wrong, because markets don't reflect the earnings of today. Markets reflect the anticipated earnings of tomorrow, you know, and I think if you had a sense for what might be playing out in the months ahead, you'd have a better sense for what the market's trying to tell you today. And I think it's a really good point for investors to remember. It's also really good to look at January and think of it in those terms, that maybe perhaps we're looking down the road and things won't be as bad as we thought they were in the fourth quarter.
Okay, folks, that's the end of yet another Money Talk. Thanks for joining the program, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.